Okay, so your grandmother was waiting for you in the cab, huh?
Yes, and I have to correct myself. I got my calendar out, and it was like the 27th or 28th of September that this happened.
Okay.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure because it was important to me. But thanks
Is
for
it?
letting
All
me
right.
continue.
Oh, yeah,
Yes.
absolutely.
So she began to tell me of this, and I saw it in a picture form, and what I saw were two vehicles. And there, one was like facing, if you were looking at a map, facing north, and it was hit by a car coming from the west, and it T-boned the car that was facing north. And I saw them hit so hard that they bounced up, and their rear ends came together,
Oh.
and it really scared me. And a bunch of compassion came over me. At the time, I was not told that I was going to be in the automobile accident. I just knew that there was going to be one. And again, I asked my grandmother, if you're telling me this, what is there that I can do? There must be something that I can do to offset this. And she gave me some ideas, and I went through this little 3 or 4 step thing of protocol. And when I finished, those feelings of apprehension and panic left me all of a sudden very quickly. And I turned to her and said, "Grandma, what's this about?" And she just smiled at me and said, "You did good."
Yeah, really.
And then
Considering you were a 1-year truck driver.
She left. And so I didn't think anything of it until about 9 or 10 days later, when I was caught in a situation in traffic where I was in the car that was facing north, and there was a car that zipped by me, just barely missing me. And had I been moving like I was planning to get out of this sticky situation in the traffic, I would have been T-boned.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is really weird, but and it didn't even dawn on me until the next day that my grandmother was warning me that I was going to be in the automobile accident because I was driving the truck. I was like, oh, when I realized it was two cars, I thought, oh, maybe I'll see this, or it'll be something that I'll be, a witness to.
Sometimes you wonder why they just don't come out and just be straight about it. They hedge a little bit. Maybe they're not allowed to tell you everything.
Well, I
I don't
understand
know.
because my grandmother has appeared to me several times, and it's because of my learning and the choices that I need to make for my own growth. She's just there to assist me, not to tell me everything, just to
All
help
right.
me.
And you had a question, right?
I do. Has Jane, let's see, the author of the Celestine Prophecy, has he ever been on the show? Do you remember? I think he
Yes,
has been.
I think he has. I can't remember
James
his last name.
Redfield, I believe is his
Redfield.
name.
Yes,
Do
he's
you
been
know
on.
that his book has been put into a movie now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, can I just make a plug for the fact that it's going to be previewing here in Phoenix tomorrow night and on the 7th and the 13th?
Do you work for a movie house?
No, I do not. I
Oh,
have a friend who's a pastor, and she is trying to get this help the Redfields and raise some money. And she has a website. Can I give it out?
all right, go ahead.
Oh, thank
Last
you.
first time, I won't do this with anybody else.
Okay. It's called dawnofthedharmicday.org/Celestine Movie, and it has the times and places. And I think it's just great that he and his wife waited to be able to get this movie done the way they wanted it to. And I'm just really looking forward to it. I've seen the trailer, and it's just looking fabulous. And I was just wondering if you wouldn't consider having him and or his wife on the show to talk
That's
more about that.
very possible. If you want to, are they going to be at this event tomorrow?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. I'm just, little Jill Doe, and
Yeah, right.
no, serious.
Your grandmother talks to you for crying out. I tell you what, I got to run. We got to take this break pretty soon. But yeah, we will consider that. By the way, speaking of trailers, sometime in 2007, I think it's in February, the new Rocky Balboa movie is coming out. There's a trailer out there on the internet. I have been trying to get it. I've been trying to look at it. It just doesn't come up for me. If any of you happen to be successful to find the right one of the new Rocky Balboa movie, email me the trailer, if you would, at george@coasttocoastam.com. I'd appreciate it. I can't get it. Back in a moment. And the creep line is 818-817-0021. Wild card line, thanks for holding so long. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing? Is that me?
Yes, sir. It sure is.
How you doing, George?
I'm doing okay.
My name's John. I'm from Cressy, Florida.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to tell you about the story that happened to me. Went outside. It was late one night. I had got off work. Was at home. I worked late at night. And I got home.
No wonder you're a listener to the program.
Every night.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You and Art. I got home. I unwound. Watched a little TV. Got up and smoked a cigarette before I went to bed. I went outside. I would sit out on my front porch here. That's what I'm doing right now. Smoke a cigarette. And I heard the clip-clopping of a horse and carriage, which doesn't seem too odd, but where I live, it's odd. I don't live in anywhere near anything like that. It's a city kind of.
You're not like near Amish country or anything
right.
like that.
Right. So I found it kind of odd that, especially at like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I hear a team of horses is what it sounded like, clip clopping, pulling a buggy. I'm like, well, I get up off the porch and I walk to the side because I'm on like a corner lot there, and the road runs along the side of that corner. And I look, and there's a horse and buggy coming down the road. It's got little red lamps on it. And I'm like, well, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I walked back over and sat down and just watched the buggy come across the front of the yard and got in front of the house, and it stopped. And this dude gets out, and I know it's going to sound ridiculous, but in the classic black gown with the big droopy holes where the arms come out.
It was a hearse, a buggy.
What's that?
It was one of those hearses, I think.
Right. Like something like that, I guess.
I hope he wasn't coming to get you.
Well, he like pointed his arm out at me, and you could see like his bony little finger pointing at me. He didn't say nothing. But I got up off the porch and ran in the house, shut the door, and I was looking out the window. And by the time I went back and looked in the window, it was gone. And
that's an eerie feeling.
And I woke the wife up and started hugging on her. I was like, oh boy, I don't know what I'm doing wrong in life, but it's something.
Yeah, tonight could be my last night.
Yeah, she's the only one, other one I've told other than you. You know, I'm gonna tell a whole lot of people about it.
And when did this buggy ever come back?
No, I've never seen it again. Thank God.
Yeah, but, absolutely. Maybe it was a wake up call. You in pretty good health?
I think it was a wake up call. Get me to quit drinking or what? I was not drinking that night, by the way, just to make that point. But it was just like I needed to straighten some things up in my life. It was a warning shot across the
absolutely. Line. Absolutely. It's funny how they do that for us sometimes.
Yeah, I'm glad they did it that way.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, George, and it was a pleasure talking to you, sir.
All right, take care and continue listening to Coast to Coast. Next up, let's go to our next wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, my name is Louise. I live on beautiful central New Mexico mountains.
It sure
and
is.
I wanted to tell you a story that happened to me when I was growing up. My dad was a mortician, and we lived in a town called Lebanon, Ohio. And the house that we lived in was a mansion right next to the funeral home he worked at. It had a history of strange things happening. It was known all over town, one of those situations. Well, one day I was alone in our part of the house, and my dog started barking. He's a big German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
We had a breakfast nook with a window that went down into the coal cellar, like those old houses had. He was howling and yowling and turning in circles, and I walked over and looked in the window, and there's somebody looking back at me. George, you could see right through it. And it had its hand up like you cup your hand to look in the window, and the head's going back and forth, kind of resembling the creature when the William Shatner was in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
The way the thing looked in the window. Of course, I screamed.
Like that gremlin look, whatever that thing was.
thinking about this, George, I'm getting the hairs on the back
so,
of my neck.
So it didn't have a human face to it?
It had shadows where the face should be. It wasn't a skull. It had definition. But the thing that was strange was I could see the arm. I could see the hand. and the face was kind of like, it was a face, it was a face, and that's all. It didn't have, it didn't look like a person per se. It was an entity, kind of. So I ran next door, got my dad, two other people that worked with him, and we went downstairs, and it was a dirt cellar. And there was a barred door, and there was nothing. There was grit on the floor. There was nothing. There's no way there was anybody in there. And my friend Chris Woodyard, who writes the Haunted Ohio book, she actually used that in one of her books.
I remember that story from her book.
That was me.
That's a great story. It really is. And creepy.
Yes. And, you know, it's kind of like my husband had grew up in a haunted house. And, you know, it's how you often say, you talk to a group of people and you'll always have somebody that'll say, well, that I had something happen to me like that. You know?
How did you as a little girl go back into that house?
Well, fortunately, we moved back to our home in Dayton, Ohio, shortly thereafter. My mother never did like the place because strange things would happen. You'd walk by a window, and the window shade would pop up all by itself. And you'd see things out of the corner of your eyes. And I wasn't really afraid. It's just, it's startling, especially when you're like, you know, between 7 and 10 years old. It wasn't a scary thing. It's just, what is it and why is it happening? But
what was it like having a father for a mortician?
My dad was a wonderful guy. He passed away last year, and he was in the funeral business for over 50 years. He also was a pathology technician for our county coroner's office. And, you know, he had some strange things happen, but, you know, those people, a lot of people think funeral directors are creepy and don't have a sense of humor. He was the funniest guy in the world. But he was always respectful, you know, because, you know, it's a time of trauma for everybody. But he was just wonderful. But it's just funny. You grow up with that kind of a thing. And, you know, it's like when you talk to somebody else, well, I had that happened. Or like the truck driver lady, I had a friend who was a truck driver who picked somebody up and they disappeared. And it's just, you know, I think it's just part of the natural world that people only open their eyes.
Sure is. I was going to ask you if your father ever brought his work home, but then it dawned on me.
He said people are dying to get in, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you, George. Take care.
Take care. You too. Let's move on next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George?
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Karen from Tennessee.
Hi, Karen.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. No problem.
This is something that happened to me 3 summers ago. I was out in the backyard with my 3 dogs, like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd been out there playing ball with them for about 30 minutes or an hour, and I have this walkway down the middle of my yard, and I was walking back to the house when the next thing I knew, I was being dropped on the ground, flat on my back. My head and my back and my heels hit the ground all at the same time, and I was 15 feet away from where I had been walking. I didn't know anything happened. I mean, I was just walking, and then I was hitting the ground.
How did you get to where you were? What happened?
It was so weird. So I was terribly confused. And I sat up, and first thing I wanted to do is I wanted my dogs. And so I called them over. They would not come close to me. And 3 of them, none of them would come to me. And these are like my children. And so I sat there a little while trying to make some sense of it all. And just, you know, decided to get up and come on in the house. And my legs wouldn't work. My legs were completely paralyzed. And I sat there about 30 minutes, and I started getting scared because I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. And yet my legs still wouldn't work. And so my next thought was I had to get in the house. I just had to get in. And so by my elbows, pulling myself through the grass and up to the back door.
Just crawling along.
Pulling, my legs were just following. I was pulling myself with my elbows.
You couldn't move them at all?
No, I couldn't move them at all. And I got up in, I had the back door already open because I don't have air conditioning. I leave it open in the summertime. And so I pulled myself on in the house, and I thought, well, on a chair, surely I can pull myself up. I couldn't pull myself up on a chair. And I didn't know what else to do, and I was absolutely worn out. So I closed my eyes right there on the kitchen floor and went to sleep. And I slept for about 3 or 4 hours and woke up and, again, was very confused. Tried to get up. My legs would not work.
Oh, my God. Did you scream for help or anything?
Well, no, I live alone, and I live out here in the woods, and there's nobody around. And, you know, so by then I had to go to the bathroom. So I drug by my elbows. I drug myself into the bathroom. I didn't make it. But anyway, I continued to drag myself in there, and I just pulled the bath mat down on the floor and laid my head down and went back to sleep. And didn't wake up till the next afternoon.
Oh, my God.
And my legs still would not work. I didn't know what on earth had happened. I've never had anything like this happen to me before.
It sounds like you were paralyzed for some reason.
Well, yes. And I got to get water.
All right, go ahead. I'm coming back. All
right. So.
Your legs working now?
It wasn't too much time.
Are your legs working now?
Yes, they are. After a few hours, they did start working. I got myself up, cleaned myself up, and they were working. They were working fine. They were very shaky, and rubbery type feeling. And during the next 3 days, it happened 3 different times that my knees just gave out, and I just collapsed on the floor, just fell flat.
You don't have, like, muscular dystrophy.
No, nothing. I'm perfectly healthy.
That's strange. Well, you know, the other thing, the fact that you had got knocked down outside, I wonder if some, like, a vortex or a wind tunnel or something came down and scooped up and grabbed you.
Gosh, I don't know. In fact, every time I really think about it, I wonder, because like I said, from where I was walking, when I hit the ground, I was 15 feet away.
That is an incredible story.
And I was facing the other direction than where I was walking.
I'm glad your legs are working there. We've got to take this break. I'll be back in a moment. I'm George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM. Well, don't forget now, it's April 1st. Play a nice little April Fool's joke on someone today, huh? You should. I should do one to you, but I won't. Well, it's time to say hello to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations as we approach very close, 500 strong. We're just knocking on that, as a matter of fact. Those of you listening on Streamlink, the Coast Riders, hello to all of you. XM Satellite in the various chat rooms all around the world, including the NighthawkZone.com folks, the Fantastic Forum Pirates. Hey, Spike Mike, by the way, send me a quick email. I want to buy a bicycle, and I'm told you're an expert in that arena. Something for a 55-year-old guy that self-pedals would be nice. And the rest of you, the National Radio Club, the Sorcery IRC groups, and all of you all over the place, Imaginative Worlds folks, hi to all of you. Good to have you with us. Somebody has sent me the trailer, and I'm going to play a little bit of the Rocky Balboa trailer here, if you can hear it. It's very short. But Rocky's coming out. It's either going to be December 2006 or February 2007 with the Rocky Balboa movie. I have seen them all. I love them. Here comes the trailer, and let's see if you can hear it.
What is it you said to the kid? The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very rough, mean place. And no matter how tough you think you are, it'll always bring you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You or nobody ain't never gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. If you know what you're worth, go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hit.
Oh, that's going to be a great movie. And all it is, if you could see it, just a tight shot of the eyes of Sylvester Stallone, and they are all swollen. That's going to be a great movie. I'll be right back. We'll continue with your open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Gosh, I wanted to do an April Fool's joke on you today, but I won't, because we deal with truth. Unless we get funny and then do some off-the-wall things, of course, as you all know. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing, George?
Good, sir. Thanks.
My name is John. I'm from St. Louis.
Hi, John. Not too far from probably where I am.
No, probably not. I'm actually a police officer, and I'm on duty right now. I just had a real quick creepy story for you.
Okay, sure.
I actually got this one from my supervisor. He was telling me years ago, whenever we have a big St. Louis summer storm or spring storm, we get tons and tons of alarm calls. Well, the way we do it is whenever we get an alarm call, we go and check, make sure the place is secure. And so he was checking a church one night after a big storm. And normally we have two units, but since there were so many, he just went by himself. And he was checking this church, found an open door. Was going through it, it's a real big church, and gets down into the basement where there's an auditorium, and he powers out, and he shines his flashlight across, and he sees a guy sitting in the front row. And he says, "Excuse me, sir." "Sir?" And the guy just kept sitting and was facing straight forward. It was an old guy, he said. Couldn't see anything other than that. He was wearing a suit. So he starts walking up to the front, shines the flashlight on him, says the guy started to turn around, his flashlight went out. And he said he just left the place, was freaking out, never went back in again. As soon as he got outside, his flashlight started working again.
God, those are horrible calls, aren't they?
Oh, you know, I'll tell you, working midnights, you helped me get through them, but keep me awake and everything. But I see so many freaky things out of the corner of my eye, and just you get so paranoid working midnights because the shadows really play tricks on you.
Yeah.
Just really gets you going, but... I also got one more comment, if I could.
Sure. Are you in the city, by the way, or one of the suburbs?
No, one of the municipalities on the outside.
Okay.
Real quick, I was just thinking, I had a quick comment about John Teeter talking about the Civil War. I'll tell you, the New Orleans Katrina thing last year.
Yeah.
Certainly could have been construed as the start of a Civil War in my eyes.
Could be. And, you know, in this immigration situation could really be the one.
Right, right. So that's all I wanted. Thanks for your hard work. Keep it up.
Be safe. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our creep line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly. Where are you?
I'm in Nephi, Utah right now.
Okay, great. Well, so you've called the creep line, Kimberly.
Yes. About 5 years ago, I lived in Spanish Fork. I had just moved into a basement apartment on the main street. And my mother, she was driving up from California with all my things so that she could help me move in. Well, we went out to a friend's that evening, and when we got back to my apartment, it was, I'm guessing, about 1 o'clock in the morning. So it was really early.
Mm-hmm.
And my front room in this apartment was all lit up. I had lamps in every four corners. And all of a sudden, for her, I couldn't see it myself, but she saw it. The room, all the lights dimmed, and she could see people, these shadow people across the room, and they were jeering and taunting. She could hear them, and I'm looking at her. She's turning pale, ghostly white. It was scary for her, and my brother could hear them, but he couldn't see them. And after that, when my mom told me about the experience, I kind of got freaked out about this apartment.
That is freaky because, you know, most of the calls we get, you see them, but you don't hear them. In this case, you folks were seeing everything.
I wasn't at the time. I don't know why I didn't. I guess I wasn't spiritually attuned. But after that experience, I would start having nightmares at night. And it was creepy. They were filled with black creatures.
What were they trying to do, these creatures?
They just kept jeering at me. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I could hear them. It's kind of, difficult to explain, but you could hear them, but you couldn't understand exactly what they were saying.
So maybe it was like a crowd at a football game or something like that. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Yeah, George, this is John from Rough and Ready, California.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, the other night when you had the UFO show on, reminded me of a story about George Fantastle. I used to fly Marine helicopters out of LTA down there at Tustin.
Yeah.
And you had a group from electronics company, and they're having a parade that day. We were flying the helicopter around. They had their equipment in there, and they were testing it. So they said, don't come back for 3 hours because we've got a parade going. So I told the crew, I said, if you want to go, we don't have 3 hours worth of fuel. We can go over to Giant Rock, and I'll have you meet somebody over there, George Van Tassel, who runs the UFO conventions and all that. So they were kind of laughing and joking about this person, and so I said, well, maybe this wasn't too smart. But anyway, we went on over there and landed, and George came on over, and he stuck his head in the bottom of the airplane and says, oh, what do you got here, a new type of radio altimeter? And that was something brand new at that time. So that kind of shut him up, they figured out, well, he's no fool, So by the time I took him back home again, they'd been down into the room under the rock and looked at his pictures, the scrapbooks. They were believers. But, I brought back fond memories when I heard that program and thinking about good old George,
Oh, yeah, that was quite a character, wasn't he?
Yeah, he sure was. That was sure a restful place over there.
So all the guys, though, they came back and they believed after that, huh?
Oh, yeah. One of them I heard later, I don't know if it's true or not, went to the next convention they had that year,
Well, that old George must have had an influence on him.
Yeah, yeah. He was a nice person. I went back one time, I think my wife over there, and he had just died, and I kind of wish I hadn't gone back,
He was full of great UFO stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very nice person.
Some of the best. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello?
George?
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Oh, this is Michelle. I'm calling from Sacramento, California.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Hi. I'm nervous. bear with me. I got a story to tell you. This happened to me about a year and a half ago. I was laying in bed listening to Coast one night.
Okay.
And I had drank too much tea, so I was wide awake. Ooh. And I was laying in bed for about 45 minutes staring at the ceiling.
Caffeine jitters.
Yeah. And my son came and climbed in bed with me, and I thought I might as well go to sleep. So I turned off the light, and shortly after that, he fell asleep, and I'm still laying there. And I start hearing a scurrying around in my bedroom. And at the time, I had two pet rats, but they were in their cage, and I just laid there listening to this. And it was on my couch, and I heard it scurrying around, and I heard it go onto the floor. And I'm listening to this, and I heard it scurrying by, on the side of my bed. And so I looked over to where I heard it at. My son's head was laying, kind of like hanging off the bed. And standing right next to his head, there was a shadow person. And we were just staring at each other. He was just a few feet away from me. And he looked like an Amazonian, something out of the Amazonian rainforest. He was real short, and he had almond-shaped eyes. And he was pitch black, and his eyes were he had a light emanating from inside of him. And there was these things floating around in his eyes, and I was staring at him. And I was kind of felt like I was getting sucked into looking at what was in his eyes. And we just stood, stared at each other for a good 30 seconds. And I got really, I was petrified. And so I just laid back down and closed my eyes because I was really scared. And I just laid there and I listened to him scurrying around my bedroom until I fell asleep.
How could you fall asleep knowing he was running around there?
I don't know, but I was petrified. I didn't know what to do. Because I've had a lot of things like this happen to me before, and
may be the first person to ever stare down a shadow person.
Well, it wasn't fun.
I couldn't go to bed if I really thought there was one in my room. And you could hear him. You could hear his feet and stuff like that shuffling along.
Well, it didn't really sound like feet. It sounded like it was he was a rodent or something. It sounded like a small animal scurrying around my bedroom.
For how long? Until you fell asleep?
Yeah, I would say probably about 15 minutes.
You've got guts.
Well, I didn't want to jump over my kid because I was like laying against the wall and I just laid there and just listened to him.
So tell me you fell asleep with maybe one eye open.
I fell asleep, but I told my son about it the next day, and he said he wished he had seen it.
Man, I tell you what, there's no way I would have gotten to bed on that one. Thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to our creep line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, hi, George. How you doing?
Good, sir. Thanks.
I have a creepy story and a dream that I think is the, at least that I've heard of, is the weirdest dream that I've ever heard of. My creepy story was back in 1985, I was in a card table with some friends at my friend's house, and he was there, his sister was there, and a couple of other guys. And it was her turn to deal, she dealt, and then, naturally you pass the deal to the next guy once you're done.
Sure.
Well, she went to pass it to the chair that was next to her, only it was empty. And at that moment, we all thought that somebody had been sitting there an instant before, but we didn't remember who or nothing. Now, the thing is, and this is really sad, my friend recently, well, back in October, committed suicide.
Oh, God.
And I started thinking about that, and for some reason, it just came back to me, and it was him.
You mean to say that he's sitting there? He'd already committed suicide, right?
No. This was back in 1985, that card game.
Oh, okay. But
he recently committed suicide.
All right, he recently committed suicide. He's sitting at that card game. But I don't understand how the chair was empty and nobody knew who was... Well, where did he go?
He was there. Living when he was, back in 1985, he was living. I mean, he was sitting next to me, but his ghost went back in time.
He was playing cards and he was physically there, right?
Yeah.
But then there was another spot where you think his ghost was playing?
Well, I don't know if he just came back to visit us or something. I don't know. It's just,
But you all saw this thing.
Well, we all thought that somebody had been sitting there an instant before, all of us.
That's
weird. As a matter of fact, like I said, she went to pass the deck to him, and then, there was nobody there, and we couldn't figure out who had been there.
But you all felt somebody was there.
Yes. Yeah.
That is strange. All right. That is
my dream... This was a few years ago. I've been trying to call you to tell you about it. I walked in, there was this church, and next to the church was like another like outbuilding or whatever. And I walked up, I had a suit on. I walked into that building. I laid down on the table. I opened my coat or my jacket, took off my shirt, unbuttoned my shirt, took a scalpel, cut myself open, removed all my insides, shoved cotton back in me, which I dipped in some kind of embalming fluid, sewed myself back up, got up, buttoned my shirt, closed my jacket, walked into the church, lied into a casket, looked up at the pastor, and said, okay, I'm ready.
Oh, my gosh.
That was... I mean, I've been trying for 3 years to call you to tell you about that.
That is a weird dream, and let's hope you never go through that, huh?
No. Well, I don't think I get up from the table anyway.
No, we don't want that to happen. Thanks. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Is this George?
It is.
Hi, George. My name is Allison. I'm calling from Houston, and I just have a question for your listeners.
Sure.
This has happened to me twice. I've gone to bed, laid down. Just as I'm drifting off to sleep, I feel a presence sit on my mattress next to me. I immediately got up, ran out the room, and didn't go back up there for a couple hours. But it's happened to me twice. and I thought it was very odd. And I'm just wondering if any other listeners have had that same experience.
All right, you don't have any paralysis when this is going on, do you?
No.
So you can move around freely.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But it's a definite presence, and it's a definite weight sitting down on the mattress.
Have you had anybody die recently in your family?
Oh yeah, lots of people.
Anybody who would come back?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't have paranormal experiences very often. The only other thing is my kids' toys will go off on their own quite a bit. But the only thing, I just thought it's very odd that I could feel a presence and someone sit down on the mattress next to me. And it was pitch dark in my room, and it was cold, and so I ran out of there.
Was there an indentation in the mattress, like there was a body there?
It felt like a small child. You know, it wasn't an adult body, but you could tell somebody sat down on the mattress. Yes, it was a major indent on the mattress for sure.
Like the shape of their little behind or something.
I don't know. I ran out of there too quickly.
That's weird. And where were you living there?
I was living in Houston.
Was it an old house or something? What kind of place was it?
It definitely had. It's the only place I've ever lived that had stuff going on. And I had a bunch of kids' toys laying around, and they'd always go off on their own constantly.
Well, it sounds like if you thought it was a kid and kid toys are going on, I bet if you checked, you will find that some youngster died, probably tragically, in that spot a long, long time ago. One more hour to go. Open lines. I'll be right back.